Well, hopefully you guys can remember everything that happened up to this point. Tonight we pick the story up. Now Simba, he's a full-grown lion, and he's lived away from the other lions for a long time, in isolation, with a couple of knuckleheads. If you remember the story, you guys go, oh yeah, that's right. A warthog and a meerkat.
Isn't this a great place?
It is beautiful. But I don't understand something. You've been alive all this time. Why didn't you come back to Pride Rock?
Well, I just needed to get out on my own. Live my own life. And I did. And it's great.
We've really needed you at home.
No one needs me.
Yes, we do. You're the king.
Nala, we've been through this. I'm not the king. Scar is.
Simba, he let the hyenas take over the Pride Lands.
What?
Everything's destroyed. There's no food, no water. Simba, if you don't do something soon, everyone will starve.
I can't go back.
Why?
You wouldn't understand.
What wouldn't I understand?
No, no, no. It doesn't matter. Hakuna Matata.
What?
Hakuna Matata. It's something I learned out here. Look, sometimes bad things happen.
Simba!
And there's nothing you can do about it. So why worry?
Because it's your responsibility.
Well, what about you? You left?
I left to find help. And I found you. Don't you understand? You're our only hope.
Sorry.
What's happened to you? You're not the Simba I remember.
You're right. I'm not. Now are you satisfied?
No. Just disappointed.
You know, you're starting to sound like my father.
Good. At least one of us does.
Listen, you think you can just show up and tell me how to live my life? You don't even know what I've been through.
I would if you just tell me.
Forget it.
Fine.
She's wrong. I can't go back. What would it prove anyway? It won't change anything. You can't change the past. You said you'd always be there for me. But you're not. And it's because of me. It's my fault. It's my fault.
Okay, there is so much in this clip. Hopefully we can unpack it a little bit for you guys. We could just play this clip again and again and again and just keep pulling stuff out of it. So we're just going to start kind of in the beginning and kind of move our way through it, okay? Nala, she asked, why did you leave? And Simba said, I needed to get out on my own and live my own life. And it's great. Hakuna Matata. And that is one of the most hollow, obvious attempts to try to convince both her and him that it's great. Because clearly it's not. He's not really happy. How often we've said the same thing, haven't we? How's it going? It's going great. How you doing? I'm doing great. Yeah? It's an empty life that he's chosen. He's let the enemy, Scar, and our enemy, the devil, take him out of the game. He's now on the sidelines doing nothing other than pursuing his own selfish, narrow-minded, making no impact or difference in this world, short-sighted life. How often we choose a similar life. We've checked out. We've let the enemy convince us that we have nothing to offer. We need to simply just concede defeat, go away, mind our own business, keep our mouth shut. Don't take any risks. Don't make any waves. Stay out of danger of being hurt or ridiculed or humiliated or disliked. This is a sellout life. That's what it is. It's a sellout life. And there's no respect for a sellout life. No one respects it. And that's one thing we want as men. We want to be respected. We're not going to be respected like that. See, there's a lie that we buy into in this culture that tells us that the most important pursuit in life is to be happy. The pursuit of happiness, that's the main thing that we should be going for in this life. That's a lie. And it leads to an empty, shallow life. The pursuit of a meaningful life is what leads to real joy. And the way that we begin to find a meaningful life is by coming into a relationship with God where we discover who we are, what our purpose is, what our call is, and then starting to live it. Jesus taught a completely different approach to life than what is commonly followed in this world. He said we need to give in order to receive. He said we need to serve in order to become great. He said we need to die in order to live. Making an impact in the lives of others, creating and maintaining relationships that impart value in other people, this is more important than the pursuit of happiness. 1 Timothy 6:18, Paul wrote, "They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life." We take hold of that which is truly life by being generous, being rich in good works, ready to share. This stores up treasure for us in heaven. He says, Hakuna Matata. That's his attitude, which means don't worry, be happy. Hakuna Matata is a selfish, shallow life. And it's funny, before I was really, you know, breaking this film down and, you know, the spiritual lessons that are there, I mean, I always thought, Hakuna Matata, that's kind of cool. Got a catchy little tune. Hey, Hakuna Matata. And then I'm watching this film and I'm going, oh, wait a minute, time out. That is the most godless, lame attitude for a man to ever have. Hakuna Matata. That should never be on our lips as far as a life attitude. It's absolutely the opposite of what Jesus taught. It's not the life that Jesus lived, and it's not the life that he wants us to live either. On the surface, the saying sounds like a good thing, but if you remember the life that Simba has chosen to live, following Hakuna Matata, then you know he's living far beneath the calling that was upon his life. He's the king's son. He's the rightful heir to the throne. He's been chosen and set apart for a special purpose. You've been chosen and set apart for a special purpose too. You are just like Simba in that way. Are you seeking after it, or have you chosen to live beneath it? You're a son of the king. You're a co-heir with Christ. You're going to rule and reign with him one day. And he has a job for you to do in this life. We're called to make a contribution to the larger mission of the Lord in this world. See, Hakuna Matata, it might be okay for a meerkat and a warthog, but it's not okay for a lion like you. Simba tells her, no one needs me. He tries to convince himself that he has no value in this world, that he has nothing to offer. How many of us buy into that same lie? It isn't true. You have something to offer. You're needed. Just like this king refuses to take his rightful responsibility, and it's caused all kinds of suffering in other people. Because of his absence, the same is true of you and me too. Others are starving and the hyenas have taken over because we've chosen to sit on the sidelines and make butt jokes with our buddies. We've chosen to hang out with the warthogs rather than run with the lions. Some ask, why worry? And Nala says, because it's your responsibility. The same message goes for us. Why worry about whatever else is going on in this world that doesn't have a direct, immediate effect on me? Because it's our responsibility. God's called us to be leaders. In our homes, as a minimum, in our church, in our community, in the world. That's what it means to be a father. Right? It reminds me of what the well-known quote attributed to Edmund Burke that goes like this, and I'm sure some of you have heard this before. But he said, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing. And the question for us is, are we contributing to the success of evil through our inactivity and refusal to get involved? Simba says, you know, you're starting to sound like my father. And Nala says, good. At least one of us does. Ouch, huh? Simba wrestles with the decision to step up and do the right thing. He tries to reason himself out of it. He tries to convince himself that it's a waste of time, that it's impossible to change things, and on and on. Remember, he's pacing back and forth, arguing with himself. Do you ever do that? I think we all do, don't we? But it's hard to get around what we know we should do. And I pray that to the Lord that we can't get around it. That we do what we know we need to do in spite of the cost to ourselves. Simba, he blames his father. And then he swings to this extreme self-blame. And both of these conclusions are false. He says, you said you'd always be there for me. He says that to his father, remember? Had his father really abandoned him? No. And then he says, it's because of me. It's my fault. It's my fault. Was it really his fault? Was he the one that was responsible for his father's death? No. See, it's that enemy, man. He speaks the stuff in our head, and then our own unregenerate mind speaks crazy stuff to us too, and we swing back and forth. Simba is completely defeated at this point. And we come to the same place in our life. We feel the weight of the responsibility, but we feel completely incapable of carrying it. And we're discouraged and overwhelmed by it. We feel crippled. We feel unable to move forward. We feel like we're in this deep, dark hole with no way out. We feel stuck. This is a place of Simba's at. Well, we're going to watch this next clip, and I don't want to give any introduction to it since it just picks up right at this same spot.
Come on, will you cut it out?
Can't cut it out. It'll go right back.
Creepy little monkey. Will you stop following me? Who are you?
The question is, who are you?
I thought I knew. Now I'm not so sure.
Well, I know who you are. Shh, come here. It's a secret. Hassan. Contessa. La squash banana me venu.
Enough already. What is that supposed to mean, anyway?
It means you're a baboon. And I'm not.
I think you're a little confused.
Wrong. I'm not the one who's confused. You don't even know who you are.
Oh, and I suppose you know.
Sure do. You're Mufasa's boy. Bye.
Hey, wait! You knew my father?
Correction. I know your father.
I hate to tell you this, but he died a long time ago.
Nope. Wrong again. He's alive. And I'll show him to you. You follow old Rafiki. He knows the way. Come on.
That's not my father. It's just my reflection.
No. Look hard. You see, he lives in you.
Simba, you are more than what you have become. You must take your place in the circle of life.
How can I go back? I'm not who I used to be.
Remember who you are. You are my son and the one true king.
Rafiki puts his finger right on the tender spot when he says to Simba, "The question is, who are you? You don't even know who you are." Bingo. Simba had forgotten who he was. Mufasa says to him, "You've forgotten who you are, and so you've forgotten me. Remember who you are. You are my son." And he says, "You're more than what you have become. You're more than what you've become." When we forget who we are, we live below who we are, and we settle for far less than we should. We expect little from ourselves, and we accomplish far less than we ought to. We live like a poor orphan on the streets when we're sons of the king who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. We're sons of the king, and our father wants us to act like it. Rafiki takes Simba to the water, and he tells him to look into it. He tells him that his father lives in him. And the same is true for us, you know? But actually, in a much more literal and profound way. We have God the Holy Spirit in us. We have the life of Christ in us, growing in us. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives or dwells in you?" Colossians 1:27, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." In this next clip, Simba accepts who he is, the son of the king, and he's going to do what he knows he needs to do.
Nala, you find my mother and rally the lionesses. I'll look for Scar.
Sarabi!
Where is your hunting party? They're not doing their job.
Scar, there is no food. The herds have moved on.
No, you're just not looking hard enough.
It's over. There is nothing left. We have only one choice. We must leave Pride Rock.
We're not going anywhere.
Then you have sentenced us to death.
Then so be it.
You can't do that.
I am the king. I can do whatever I want.
If you were half the king Mufasa was, you
would... I'm 10 times the king Mufasa was!
Mufasa! No, you're dead.
Mufasa? No. It's me. Simba, you're alive? How can that be? It doesn't matter. I'm home.
Simba? Simba! I'm a little surprised to see you. Alive?
Give me one good reason why I shouldn't rip you apart.
Oh, Simba, you must understand. The pressures of ruling a kingdom
are no longer yours. Step down, Scar.
I wish I could spend, you know, more time on these clips because there's so many things that I just had to choose to just let go. But even in this one here, but Scar, he says, I'm the king. I can do whatever I want. Remember that? And then he slaps her. Do you remember? That was the same attitude that Simba had when he was a cub, remember? Talking to his dad in that first conversation. So I thought King could do whatever he wants. And his father, Mufasa, wisely said to him, there's more to being the king than doing what you want. A true king is a servant leader, not a selfish leader. He looks out for the good of those in his care. Jesus Christ demonstrated that in his life. He wants us to do the same in our life. In Mark 10:42. There's a story that's told there. It says, and Jesus called them to him, his disciples, and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Man, we've been put in places of leadership, and the very fact that you're a man means that you've been put in a place of leadership. God made you the head. That means you're the leader. That's your call. No matter how large or small the scope of your responsibility might be in the immediate, it's still yours. Every single one of us are called to be a leader. Every single one of us are called to be a father. We've been put in these places of leadership to serve and to add value to others. It's important that we not abuse the authority that we've been given. Any leader who has the attitude of, I'm the king and I can do whatever I want, is not worthy of being a leader. They're a selfish fool. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people groan. Boy, we see that with Scar's rule, don't we? Scar now gets his due.
Murderer. Simba, Simba, please. Please have mercy, I beg you.
You don't deserve to live.
But, Simba, I am family. It's the hyenas who are the real enemy. It was their fault. It was their idea.
Why should I believe you? Everything you ever told me was a lie.
What are you going to do? You wouldn't kill your old uncle.
No, Scar. I'm not like you.
Oh, Simba, thank you. You are truly noble. I'll make it up to you, I promise. And how can I prove myself to you? Tell me, I mean, anything.
Run. Run away, Scar. And never return.
Yes, of course. As you wish, Your Majesty.
He said we were the enemy.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Ed?
No, let me explain. No, you don't understand. No, I didn't mean... No! No!
One thing about that particular clip that brings back kind of a precious memory for me personally as a father is if you have kids, you know that they watch a movie over and over and over and over and over again. I mean, just again, like back to back to back to back, 8 times in 1 day kind of thing, right? And, you know, The Lion King was one of those movies that my daughters, when they were little, would watch it back to back to back like that, 3, 4, 5, 6 years old. And this fight scene between these two, she would always make me act that out with her. The slow motion part, it's like... slapping each other across the living room in slow motion, you know, stuff like that. Probably. Any of you guys have the same thing happen with you? Yeah. Fathers playing with their kids, you know? He gets his due. Galatians 6:7. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Can't think of a more vivid illustration of the truth of that scripture than with Scar. I mean, he's burned everything down around him. The last and final clip.
It's time. Remember.
Men, when we take on the responsibility of the call of the Lord in our life, there is a restoration and a renewal that takes place in the lives of those around us, just like happened with him. And we experience joy ourselves. There is nothing that feels better, really, than for a man to know that he's given his life for a worthy cause and pursuit. That's what we're made for. That's how we're wired. And that rings our bell like nothing else. We know we are being who we are when we do that. I want to read this scripture from Romans 8. I think the scene that we see here just is a beautiful illustration of this. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. The story comes full circle. We're sons, learning from our father. We become fathers, teaching our sons, who will become fathers themselves, who teach their sons. Our Father tells us in his word that we're to instruct our sons. See, the throne of our great King and Savior Jesus will be established one day throughout all of the domain of humanity, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess that he's Lord. It tells us in Philippians 2:11, doesn't it? I want us to flip over to Revelation 5 for a minute, though. Revelation chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1, John is describing this vision that the Lord has given him of the final days, and all of this stuff has taken place. He says, "Then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who's worthy to open the scroll and break its seals?' And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, 'Weep no more. Behold, the lion the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, 'Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Jesus is portrayed here as both a lion and a lamb. When he is a lamb, it refers to his first coming, dying as a sacrifice for us. Portraying him as a lion refers to his second coming, when he will establish his sovereign rule over all. Seven is associated with completeness and perfection, and this number is repeated throughout, isn't it, describing this lamb and all this stuff taking place. There are seven seals. This lamb has seven horns with seven eyes, with seven spirits, all driving home the point of the perfection and the completeness, the holiness of God. Horns symbolize strength. Eyes symbolize knowledge and insight. And I want to make sure you guys get what it says in this song that they're singing when the Lion of the Tribe of Judah opens this scroll. Because you guys are in this song, you know. It says, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation." It's talking about you. "And you've made them a kingdom and priests to our God." We've been made priests. "And they shall reign on the earth." That's you. See, I wasn't making it up, was I? That your father is the king and you're his son. Now, the last thing that I want to have us take note of from this final clip is this, is that Simba, he came back. And he was able to take his place that had been intended for him. See, he had run away from his responsibilities, his call, his place, those who were depending on him. He ran away from all of that. He chose instead to live a life of Hakuna Matata, just living for himself and checking out of the rest of life. But that wasn't where he stayed. He came back, he repented, he took up the call and the responsibility that was supposed to be his. He stepped into his place as the son of the king. And you can too. I can too. I mean, maybe you've been sitting here this week and going, "Dude, I've like so blown it. I'm so far away from all of that. I've been running around with warthogs and meerkats." You know, Hakuna Matata has been my attitude. I've just checked out. I'm not taken up the call of my father. I've not been a son of the king. There's always a second chance with Christ. You can choose today, in this moment, to do it differently, to take up the call of God in your life, to step into your responsibility and your privilege. You're a son of the king. Take that, live it, act like it, embrace it, take it onto your shoulders. This is where you'll find your deepest fulfillment and joy. You were made to be more than you are. It's never too late to begin a new path in life. Your father, my father, is calling us up to take our place as his sons. Amen and amen. Let's bow our heads for closing prayer. Father, I thank you for the spiritual truths that you've brought out of this animated film, reminding us of who we are, of who you are, of our call, of what you want to do in our life, what you've given us. I mean, the scope of what it means to be your son, what it means to have you as our father. May we take hold of these things, Lord. These truths, may they sink into our hearts and they change us, Lord. May we be different men when we go down this mountain. We look to you, Father, for our strength. Our little tiny paw stepping into your big footprint reminds us that we need your strength, and your strength is ours. In Jesus' name, amen.